What you put in life, which is the rule of thumb for everything, be it your friends, your family, your food. What you put in is what you get out.
That was Palma D'Orazio. This is Marnie Salop. Thanks for tuning into my podcast, Marnie on the Move. Each week, I will be inviting interesting, innovative movers and shakers to join me on the show and share their story. You will discover and hear from thought leaders, experts, influencers, and entrepreneurs from the worlds of wellness, sports, beauty, fitness, fashion, and more. Marnie on the Move will feature an eclectic mix of people I know, work with, and think are generally doing cool things. On each episode, I sync up with my guests about life, career, and training, and showcase their expertise and story. For the past 3 decades, my next guest, Palma D'Orazio, has been organically growing her culinary empire. She has long been the go-to caterer on the New York City fashion and beauty scenes. Her restaurant, Palma, is home to the most delicious Italian cuisine and is a sought-after destination for corporate events and weddings. On today's episode, I sync up with Palma about where it all began, her love of food, the farmer's market, and family. Today's episode is fueled by Sum Potion. I am such a huge fan of their super high quality tonic herbs, mushrooms, and superfoods. I started using these transformational foods and supplements around 2 years ago, and they have been serious game changers for my health, my energy levels, and even my sleep. Typically, I alternate between their Yin Power Potion and Ashwagandha for all things balance. Cordyceps if I'm feeling low energy and want to boost my workout, or chaga when my immune system is feeling taxed. I simply add it to my morning coffee or smoothie, and I'm on the move. Sum Potion offers a variety of rejuvenating, restorative, and healing organic supplements and transformational foods. Head over to their website, sumpotion.com, and see for yourself. Also, don't forget to subscribe to Marnie on the Move on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or Android. And of course, you can go to our website at marnieonthemove.com. And while you're there, sign up for our newsletter because we have some exciting announcements, deals, and giveaways. Thanks again for tuning in to Marnie on the Move. Before we get started today, I have an exciting announcement to make. We are taking the podcast on the road, starting on May 2nd here in New York City. For more info, go to our website, MarnieOnTheMove.com, or on social, Marnie on the Move, on Instagram and Facebook, Marnie on the Move. And you can find out more information about where we're going to be popping up over the next few months and who our exciting guests are going to be. Also, if you are enjoying this podcast, please head over to iTunes and leave a 5-star review. I would greatly appreciate it. Thanks again and enjoy the episode. We are here today with Palma D'Orazio. This is such a beautiful, beautiful restaurant. I'd love to hear how you got started in the restaurant business and tell me a little bit about Palma.
So, well, the first thing I have to tell you is that the restaurant business came to me. I never went to it. It chose me. I guess that's kind of how life can work sometimes. And when all things line up, you kind of know that it's a destiny.
When did you open the restaurant?
Well, the restaurant was opened 16 years ago. Mm-hmm. But prior to that, I had a catering company, which was also something that just kind of came to me. I was working basically in the fashion industry. And it was many years ago, my cousin, Sante D'Orazio, he knew that I needed some work. And he said, why don't you cook for us and do a photo shoot and cook for our photo shoot? And I was like, cook for a photo shoot? What does that mean? And he said, you just, you know, it's going to be our lunch. And basically, I was like, well, what am I going to cook? Well, just cook like it's Sunday. And that's what I did. Cooked this amazing meal that my mom would have been really proud of me. And I dropped it off, and everybody was like, oh my God, what is this? It's like, we're not used to this. This is amazing. And that was kind of like the beginning. As soon as I went home, it was back in the day of the flashing recording, like you get a message, and the machine's blinking away. Yeah, it started very quickly from Sante. The next person I had was, you know, Steven Meisel, and then Bruce Weber, and then Richard Avedon, and it just snowballed, and we started I never thought that I was ever even doing anything but feeding my friends and family.
That's so wonderful. Growing up, you were in the kitchen, and you love cooking.
When you live with an Italian family, you definitely have food is definitely the source of love.
Did you learn to cook from your mother and your grandmother? Is it like the traditional Italian?
Yes, I think it's kind of genetic, to be really honest.
I like that. If you're Italian, should know how to cook.
It's true. And it was always about ingredients and sharing. I mean, I grew up in a house where food was the center of the universe, and our door was always open for people to visit. And as soon as they came in, my mom would, and my dad, both of them, would just cook up a storm, and food would come out, and everybody would be happy. So food is sharing and caring. It's a way of saying, I nurture you, I love you.
How many years ago was that you got your start?
It's so funny because I don't even really remember, but it must have been in the 80s.
And you're from New York? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm from New York. And as I said, I really didn't know I was making a business. I mean, it was kind of ridiculous because I was actually cooking out of my little apartment. And
right.
I was like, I would cook up a storm and hail a taxi and go and make a delivery and come back and see a blinking light. And there were all these people saying, I want catering for this shoot and that shoot. And it was just so overwhelming. And before long, I ended up saying, oh my gosh, I think we can't do this anymore. This is, you know, it was winter time and my fire escape was my walk-in box. But,
that's amazing.
Yeah, it was kind of incredible. But it was amazing. So shortly after that, we got a big loft and cooked from there. Cornelius Street found us. And there was a small little space that had a kitchen already. And the owner of the space said, oh, if you want it, I can give you a 2-year lease. And we were like, 2 years? That's so long. It's like, how will I know I'll be doing this in 2 years? Well, needless to say, we outgrew that really quickly and ended up with a very, very big space on 7th Avenue South. Then we went to Pier 59 Studios, and we were there. And then at Milk Studios, but at the same time, we still had our commissary, and we were doing 25 shoots a day, feeding 250 people, and every single job that went out, everybody felt like I only cooked for them, and I did, because even though it was a lot of jobs and a lot of people, it really was my family, and I definitely knew who wanted what and how to make them happy. So it was always a challenge to be able to feed everybody and take care of those that, you know, who loved sugar, who couldn't eat sugar, who wanted meat, who would never go near meat.
Right.
And so to please all these different people, it was a family.
Right.
It was a family.
Like you did it with love.
Absolutely. We opened up here.
Here on Cornelius Street.
Yeah.
And now you run all of your business out of this
Well,
location.
We still do photo shoots, but it's a really different world now.
Yeah, how?
It's changed. It's not what it used to be. I mean, the internet changed a lot of things, and the way everything is so fast, and everybody, you know, it's just different. And we've still been asked to do a lot, but I like doing things the way that I do it. And so I'm still catering for photo shoots and also events.
I think companies don't have the same budgets.
That was the big changer. It's both logistically a nightmare and financially a nightmare. Yeah. And so that's what makes it so hard, because I still want to use organic ingredients and I still make everything fresh first thing in the morning and everything is house made. And so to do all of that, it takes people and it takes time, and we still have our people that we do cook for, and always when there's things special, people are always calling us. So that always makes me feel proud, chosen for the special thing.
I would love to hear more about some of the farms that you work with. I mean, I know that the sort of premise behind your cooking and your restaurant and your catering business have been working with local ingredients, local farms, organic food.
Way back, we would take our van and go to Union Square and know all the farmers that are there. I would literally walk to each one and taste, because it wouldn't be the same. I mean, everybody could have a tomato, but, you could have a tomato here and a tomato there and a tomato there. And so, like, really kind of hand-picking what I would do. Cherry Hill is probably one of my favorite. They have really wonderful heirloom tomatoes. And it's very interesting, because one day we did a special in the restaurant, and when the dish came out, somebody said, "Well, it's a tomato. What's so special about it?" Mm-hmm. And I said, "Well, why don't you take a taste?" And they did, and they were like, "Oh my God, this is a tomato." And I said, "Yes, and that's what's special." So sometimes I've always been a believer that what you put in life, which is the rule of thumb for everything, be it your friends, your family, your food.
Right.
What you put in is what you get out. And food absolutely nurtures. And I can't give to somebody what I wouldn't give to my own family. I make a lot more money because, and like say, "Oh, don't give them this and don't give them that. You could buy this for less." But it would be like, I would have a very poor soul if I did something like that. And it's a challenge, because you still have to be competitive.
Mm-hmm.
But to those people who know, I know they trust me.
Yeah.
And I know that and it's funny, because I never really go around talking about it. Like when I had even my catering, I never really spoke about what we were doing. You just do it, because
right.
you just have to do things because it's right.
Yeah.
But I think the less that you do, mm-hmm. the better things are.
Okay.
Sometimes the most simple ingredients handled properly make the best.
I mean, I'd love to hear more about some of the farmers that you like and what you think is special about these farmers. And they're in Union Square, right? Pretty much?
They're in Union Square. But you tend to find, when going to the market, different days, you know when your farmer is going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, you also know what they're going to have, because
right.
it's in season.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also always the surprise element. For example, I love Rick. I think Rick has amazing, amazing products. He works very closely with a lot of chefs,
mm-hmm.
and he takes it to heart. If someone will come to him and they'll go, "Hey, Rick, I just got these seeds. Would you, can you plant this? Because I really want to have this salad that I had when I was in Italy, but that, I've never seen it here."
Uh-huh.
And he loves the challenge. And so Rick is very adventurous. Whatever he has, it's always, always fantastic. So he's got succulent, and he's got all of that, something that I never had. And I love when my farmers come to me. I really love that.
When they come in for dinner.
When they come to me, when they come to our place, and they get excited. Ones that we use the most, Buried Treasure. And Buried Treasure is not just berries. She does everything. Plus the flowers. Campo Rosso. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of wonderful salads. Keith's Farm is organic. Oh, I had another nice story about Keith's Farm. When I would go to the farm, to the market, I would always see these little birds, always like around Keith's Farm. And then one day I couldn't resist because I saw the little bird just like, I actually have a photo I can give to you.
Okay, cool.
This little bird that was like sitting right by the broccoli and taking little nibbles out of it. And I was like, oh my, I said, you have got company. And he said, I don't just have company. In the morning before our truck even pulls in, the birds are waiting for us. And it all makes sense because they're not at a lot of the other places. And he, you know, he's got a really wonderful ethical farm. And I believe absolutely everything is organic. And the birds know. So I think that, you know, nature does know what's good for them. So if nature knows what's good for them,
right,
we have to know what's good for us. So that's always a sign. Follow the birds, follow the bees, and you're bound to have the best of the best at the market.
Yeah, there are so many great vendors there. That there are so many great farms.
Laney's Farm is really good. We go there Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday.
So then you change your menu here seasonally.
Well, we change our menu. Well, there's a lot of things on our menu that we don't change because they're year-round.
Right.
And, you know, they're available. And people love it. And if we take it off, they cry. And it's like, where is it? But what we do and what I love to do is I love going to the market and finding all the things that I like and then setting up an absolutely beautiful display for it. We'll put it in the kitchen or put it on a, you know, on a farm table. And I watch the chefs go and they just go and they pick what they want and they come up with some specials. And I think that's great. But of course, we also change our menu according to what's coming up. So now, you know, we're starting to think about what's our next plan. Because of course, when things are in season, mm-hmm. they taste the best.
Right.
They are the best. And there's really a beautiful harmony that I love about going to the farmer's market, but just even about life and about nature. When you see the flowers
mm-hmm.
and you look at the colors,
right,
it always matches the food.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I mean, just think about the autumn when you have pumpkins.
Right. And the fall leaves are changing.
The fall leaves. So the colors and the food, there's such a beautiful harmony. And anytime you want to know what works, always just look. And
look at nature.
You'll see.
Look at the flowers.
A very dear friend had, this goes back quite a few years ago, they had a she's actually, she teaches dance mm-hmm. at Eurythmy.
Okay.
But she's very much from the soul. And if you know anything about the Rudolf Steiner School, which is where she teaches, Rudolf Steiner is very much, I mean, he was just so ahead of his time and everything was about, you know, biodynamic and
right.
and of the earth. And she's very, very dear to me. She's kind of like my sister, my daughter, and my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And she and her family have a beautiful house in Pomona and with acres and acres of land. And she decided that she was going to start to do some farming for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so she started doing biodynamic farming for us. And that was so amazing. And so a lot of what she produced was for us. But of course, being the restaurant and the quantity that we need, we never can have just one source.
Right.
We have several sources. So Camp Hill Farm is in Pomona. And then they actually became Rockland Farm Alliance, which
okay.
is also there. And we get a lot of our products from them. And they're so ethical. And you just having this come to us here in Manhattan
right.
is just such a breath of fresh air.
So you have the restaurant here that we're in today, which is mm-hmm. so beautiful. If you're in New York City, I highly recommend coming and trying the food, your catering business, a farm. Any books in the future?
Yes. I actually was waiting to do my book for I've had a book contract that's been sitting. They said to me, that book contract is yours for whenever you want to do it.
That's so nice.
I kind of want to do it when it's right. And my daughter wrote a poem when she was very, very little. She was only six. Her poem said, "I know a cake that could feed the world. It's a cake baked with love, because love is that one ingredient that no matter how much you give, it only gets bigger." Yeah, kind
that's
of
so
mind-blowing
amazing.
At six. And so I decided that that poem was going to be the main recipe in my book. I am going to have the pleasure of her working with me for 1 year. She's graduated from Tisch. She's in film and television. But she is giving me 1 year, and we are going to do our cookbook and several other things. And I really want Palma. I've had people say to me, "Oh, can we franchise? We're not a corporation. I don't want to be a corporation. We're a family-run business, and we do it for real. It's my life, you know, and my days really feel blessed." Mm-hmm. And our place has become a place that's very it's for celebration, and everybody who comes here comes back, and they tell me that they went on their first date here, they fell in love here, they got engaged here, there's weddings. And that's my favorite thing about Palma, because we don't have a certain type. It's everybody's place. It's people who travel, you know, far to come here, people who just live on the block. And it's young people, old people, people who think they're cool, people who are cool. It doesn't matter. New York, Palma is everybody's place. And I love that. I want to do classes. Mm-hmm. I'd like to, we do already cooking classes. Okay. We're very much known for our gluten-free pasta. We did that because my daughter couldn't have gluten. So we worked really hard to develop a great recipe. And from what I hear, we have the best gluten-free pasta around. It's very popular. Sometimes I wonder why I don't do all gluten-free, because you really can't even tell a difference.
Right.
And you don't really need that gluten. But people love it. We have this, it's called ketchup pepe. It's a delicious gluten-free ravioli, agnolotti, and it's kind of like ketchup pepe, which is from Rome.
Mm-hmm.
It's made with a pecorino, but a special pecorino. And of course, we use the buffalo ricotta. In Rome, you would have it as a sauce. And our chef, she developed a recipe. Her name is Angie Musi, and she's been fantastic. She does research and development, and she has brought some really, really wonderful things to Palma. And this is an amazing, amazing dish everybody loves.
Has she been working with you for the entire time?
She's been with us for a very long time. Not the entire time, but for a long time. All our pasta is homemade.
Mm-hmm.
We make an amazing focaccia. It's also, our desserts are all homemade. Everything is made from home. I wouldn't even think about.
Right.
I don't think we have any cans downstairs of any sort.
Do you jar any of your own stuff?
Well, yes and yes. We jar things for us.
Right.
And I am probably going to get a license to start jarring.
Mm-hmm.
So that I can actually sell it.
Right.
Because
people want your sauce.
Absolutely.
Because it's so good. I mean, it seems organic to sell something else outside of just like your restaurant, right?
Yeah. I think what happens is that as the summer starts to fade, I look at all of these tomatoes and I'm like going, "Oh my God, I'm going to miss you. I'm going to miss you." And that's when I want to jar things, because it's just like that base, and it's incredible, because you're getting something that is not around, and it's even more special. But then again, it's like Christmas. I look forward to it every year.
Uh-huh. And you look forward to the tomatoes being season.
I really love doing things seasonal, because it does make you just appreciate. Sometimes we get so spoiled because they'll go, "Oh yeah, well that's coming from California, and this is coming from here, and this is coming." And it kind of takes away the romance of the life.
Right.
And the circle of life,
right,
and the way it's supposed to be. And in fact, the harmony of life,
right,
is such that we should be eating maybe what's not in season, you're not supposed to be having.
Right.
And so if you stay in your area of where you live, and
right,
what you're eating is what your body really needs.
Well, it goes back to what you were saying earlier with the flowers and the birds and nature, right? I mean, I know a thing or two about it just because of my own diet. And mm-hmm. I think also, yeah, there's something very magical about going to the farmer's market, especially in Union Square, and connecting with the farmers and eating what's in season, because at that point, it has the most nutrients. So it kind of makes sense that you would eat it in that time frame. Also, in that time frame, it's probably the nutrients that you need at that time of the
year. Exactly.
Right? It's such a weird season now, right? It's winter, but
yeah,
spring is around the corner.
It's very challenging during the winter months are a little more challenging. And then as spring starts coming around, you're like, oh my God, like it's amazing. But I started to tell you before is that, you know, I really want to start doing my cooking classes, but not just cooking class parties, but really cooking classes where we could actually even go to the farm, go to the market, meet the farmers, come back with the chef, make our, you know, whatever it is that's going to be good for that day. Yes, great. I love it.
That's a good idea. I think people would love that. I think that there's a much bigger awareness around health and diet and food these days than there ever has been. And I think New Yorkers are like ripe for the picking in terms of like doing that kind of cooking. And mm-hmm. there's kind of like a resurgence of mm-hmm. people really thinking about what they're eating and what they put into their
sure.
diets.
Yeah, I think that's been going on for a really long time.
Yeah.
For sure. And I'm so happy it is because that's part of the reason why people are living much longer than what they did. I mean, we're so much more knowledgeable.
Yeah.
And I mean, even if you go into like some of the organic supermarkets and you see what they're actually producing. In the past, someone would go, oh, that's not going to taste good. That's, you know,
right.
And meanwhile, it's absolutely delicious. So,
yeah. What do you think are some of the stronger vegetables that kind of have like a longer life in the season? Meaning like kale or something like that. Like what can you eat year round?
Well, kale is actually year round. I mean, its time, its best time is like fall, winter, but kale is always available. I think it's all the little specialty things. It's like, I can't wait till my strawberries come. And like, I was telling you, one of my farmers, you know, she starts her strawberries and it goes all the way to like the end of September.
Wow.
And I think they're called TriStar. They're the little tiny ones. So they're really just, every little bite, they're tiny but full of oomph.
What about arugula?
When Rick gets his wild arugula, it's like you just taste it and it's like spicy and just so wonderful. And so the season when it's really great, and especially at the market, it's not really that long.
It's and not.
No.
I don't know. Like, maybe because I go to Whole Foods and then I see it on the shelves.
Yeah, but you see there's a difference.
Yeah.
You do. But when you, if you go to Rick during the season
mm-hmm.
when the arugula is out and you taste his arugula, it's like, oh my God, it is so, so flavorful.
Yeah.
And tiny, you know, really
right.
small. It is, yeah. And even all the herbs, I know that sometimes, I mean, having fresh herbs makes a huge difference. And I have a good trick for you, you know, if you take like a glass dome.
Okay.
If you put a glass dome, mm-hmm. if you put your herbs in a little bit of water and you put it underneath this dome, uh-huh. and it acts like a greenhouse. And it's so wonderful because then you can just like lift it up and have your fresh basil or some little twigs of fresh thyme. And getting the best herbs is really, it enhances the food tremendously. And, it's not about the quantity, but about the quality.
Right.
As everything else in life.
Yeah.
it goes again, hand in hand with life. It's not about the quantity, it's the quality. I just love, sometimes you see this little teeny weeny little bouquets when you go to Keith's farm and raffia around it or, you know, twine. And someone will go, oh, that's so expensive. And it's like, I don't think so.
Because it probably lasts you so long, too. And it's like
it's
the quality.
The quality, the taste. The taste is just, and occasionally, like, we'll get from our, you know, purveyors, because of course we still have, you know, purveyors who deliver to us, and they'll give you a box, and I'll take a look at that box of herbs, and I'll say, okay, that whole box won't be as wonderful as that little teeny little bundle of joy that I would get from Keith
at the farmer's market.
At the farmer's market, yeah.
So do you, where do you get a lot of your inspiration for the dishes on the menu?
It's a sharing process, I guess. I mean, I love traveling. My husband is French, and we travel a lot to Europe. And traveling, reading, even cookbooks. I mean, I have to say, it's like once you start understanding food and you start reading the cookbooks, you could read it. You could even read the recipe, and you'll know whether it works or it doesn't work. You understand it. It's like reading music. I mean, I can't read music, but I know some people, when they're reading music, they hear it.
Right.
I'll look at it and say, oh, that's pretty. But I would have no clue. But with food, if you, when you start looking at recipes and maybe doing it for the first time the way it says, and then altering and putting your little notes in the book about what maybe you would like, you end up like teaching yourself how to actually cook. There's so much to learn in reading, and then you can actually read the recipe and know what it's going to taste like.
It is. It's like a whole other language.
It is, for sure.
And you have to know, you can know, like, naturally, if you cook, like, how much of, to put in something or not. I don't really cook, so, again, like, but I appreciate really good food. I'm more of a baker, so I just follow the directions.
Baker is like a scientist.
Yes.
That is a science.
Yes.
But cooking, you have a lot more freedom, and it could be a lot more inspirational. There's really not a right or wrong. I love cookbooks that don't really give you the amounts, but give you kind of the general feeling.
What about all these beautiful flowers?
I have to say that if you look at my camera, you'll see much more pictures of flowers than you will of food.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm the one who does all the flowers every day. So when people ask me, are you at the restaurant? And I say, yeah, I'm in every flower and every plant that you see, because I'm here early, early in the morning. I just love life, and I think God was in the best mood when he made flowers. I mean, they have so many elements. I mean, and I like them from when they're just very fresh, and watching them develop. And I like every stage of its life. And people kind of come to me all the time and they say, oh, you know, can you do my flowers? And I say, but I'm not a florist. And I'm not a florist, but I adore my flowers, and I adore that they make people happy. And they become such a big part of Palma.
Where do you get them all from?
During the summer, I get them from our farm. I get the wildflowers.
Okay.
But during, you know, actually year round, I go to 28th Street, which is sadly changing.
I know.
New York is changing, because I remember the days when we used to get fish from the fish market. We'd go to South Street Seaport with all the fishermen and watch the boats come in, and they would have, like, you know, it would be cold, and they'd have like one of those like metal garbage pails filled with like paper and burning it, and we would stay there and get warm while we were waiting for our fish. And that's gone. And then, of course, there was the meat market where you would, you know,
right on Gansevoort,
and that's gone. And now the flower market's going to leave. So slowly but surely, all these really great things are kind of
leaving.
Yeah. So, but we do go to 28th Street, and there's probably three places that I use the most. And one is G Page, where we have, you know, they have really great quality flowers. And then there's Dutch Flower, which is also wonderful people, beautiful mm-hmm. flowers. And then there's Gus, who has the branches, and he's just an angel. And it goes back to the same thing. If you look at even the colors.
Yeah.
The colors are always, you know, there you've got quince, and then you've got the Secret Garden roses.
Speaking of roses, how did you meet your husband?
I think there's something poetic. I mean, I would have to say that my life story is really more of a love story.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I said that this place really kind of chose us, because Pierre was my French teacher, and he's an artist. And he just started helping me. And one thing led to another. And before you knew it, neither one of us ever thought that we were going to be doing anything with food. But it just started happening. And the more people kept asking us to, you know, cook for them, we would do it. And we made so many people happy. And we would just... And then this, our location on Cornelia Street, someone showed us this great little carriage house and said, how would you, you know, come take a look? And we walked into it, and I was like, oh my God, this is so dark, and I don't think that I really want to be here. And it was off the street. And he had the vision, and he said, no, it's beautiful. And I was like, oh, I don't think so. But we ended up living in this carriage house, and one day, probably around 18 years ago, the owner of the property came to us and said, would you like to take over the restaurant, which was a Moroccan restaurant? And so Pierre and I said, well, we've never had a restaurant, so I don't think we really want the restaurant. But then we thought about it a little bit more, and we said, why not? Let's say yes.
Why not?
So we rented the restaurant. We totally gut the place out, paid all this money because he wanted this key money, and paid a huge rent. And now we're sitting here with like an empty space that we paid all this money for. And now we said, we don't want it. And we just tried so hard to find somebody who would want to rent it. And Cornelia Street was really cool because, you know, you
right.
had Poe, and you had Home, and you had Pearl, and, you know, It was really happening. So we had people who wanted it, but every time it came to really have them take the restaurant, they ended up saying no. So it was like a boomerang, and it kept coming back to us. So that happened two times, and finally we said, okay, let's take the restaurant. So we opened this restaurant, and the whole idea of the restaurant was I kind of thought that it was going to be seafood, and it was going to be, I don't know, I just had all kinds of ideas, but I wasn't really 100% sure. I just knew it. I wanted it to be authentic and real.
Uh-huh.
But it's like having a child.
Uh-huh.
You think you know what they want, what you want them to be, but they're going to be what they want to be. And Palma just kind of became a very authentic, real, safe home type of place, and a family type of place for many, many people. And it started growing organically, because we had this little restaurant that was only 35 seats. And then after 9/11, the owner of the property let us put a couple of tables in the garden. And then as time went on, the owner said, I want to move, and I don't want to be here anymore. Do you want to buy it? And we had the fortune to be able to do that. And it still started growing. And then finally, thanks to Melody, we did a dinner in our house, and the people loved it. And then they started asking more. People started saying, can I? So it really kind of was not planned. So when people say, how did you think of it? It's like, we didn't think of anything. There wasn't even a thought. It just was, and it just is. And so we started to do, people started asking to do the dinners, and they became really successful. And finally, we just decided that we should share what we have with everybody. And so we moved above the main restaurant in the front building, which was built in 1910, and the carriage house was built in 1810, 100 years, and it's behind. So that now belongs to everybody. It's everybody's place, and we live above. And the courtyard is, like, really wonderful because it's has a retractable roof. And so in the winter months, it's kind of like a greenhouse, and there's always flowers, and we're open year-round. So it's very special in that way.
It feels very special.
Yeah. You don't feel like you're in New York. At least that's what I hear all the time.
Yeah, I kind of feel transported sitting here.
Yeah, people feel transported. And Pierre, being from, he spent a lot of his life in the south of France, and so there's a lot of influence of French. You know, you'll come here and people can tell that it's Provence, there's a lot of Provençal.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you.
Thanks again for tuning in to Marnie on the Move. Head over to our website, marnieonthemove.com, and subscribe to our show on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Android, and more. Also, sign up for our newsletter. Just scroll down to the bottom of the site, to the bottom of the website, and hit sign up, because we are gearing up for some really big, exciting announcements, deals, and giveaways. Thanks again for tuning in.